Today and for the next 2 days, we're presenting interviews with executives from the Environmental Protection Agency concerned with citizen science, the deployment of low-cost sensors to the hands of citizens virtually anywhere who can observe and record environmental conditions and report them to EPA. In this next interview, we hear from the director of EPA's National Center for Environmental Innovation, J. Ben Ferrato.
I am so excited about the opportunities in the federal government and outside the federal government to use citizen science and crowdsourcing in research to solve community problems and engage communities in science questions that are important to them. It is an old idea in science, but it's currently being leveraged by new technologies, the internet, the smartphone, air sensors, water sensors. So we have great potential now to engage citizens in science.
It seems almost as if people are conditioned to be data gatherers. In fact, the phones gather so much data about themselves, it's almost as if it's a natural extension to start to develop and collect data about the environment you operate in.
Absolutely right. There's so many examples. President Roosevelt, when he was in the White House, kept detailed records of the breeding birds on the White House grounds. Over the last two or three decades, there have been thousands of groups across the country that collect water quality information in places they care about, the lake where they live, the river, the estuary. And these people, I think, are feeling much more empowered in the digital age to contribute their own observations to larger data sets.
And so what are the conditions necessary for citizen science to work to its potential?
I think you need some guiding principles. And the president's science advisor, Dr. John Holdren, issued a policy memo back in September encouraging federal agencies to address societal and scientific challenges using citizen science. And he outlined some principles of how you apply citizen science, and the kinds of issues that need to be addressed are things like data quality, openness of the information, and then public participation.
It strikes me that citizen science is not exactly crowdsourcing, that crowdsourcing maybe it presupposes a certain outcome or a specific goal, whereas citizen science, you're not necessarily sure at the outset where you're going to end up.
This is an active debate amongst practitioners of the relationship between this term crowdsourcing and the term citizen science. And I think we're still exploring the boundaries and relationships. There's many different words used: public participation in scientific research, community science, citizen science, public science. But the notion of crowdsourcing, using groups of people voluntarily to assist in problem solving, is certainly one dimension of citizen science.
And so what is the EPA, do you think, what is its best role in fostering all of this?
We see ourselves, I think, as a support organization for citizen science. There are so many different kinds. Researchers often use citizen science to collect data or maybe analyze data that wasn't possible through more traditional means. We often support communities that want to study some particular aspect of their community, sometimes environmental. Citizen science is very crucial to environmental education, STEM education. Science, technology, engineering, math connects young people often into the science process. So bottom line, at EPA, we're very interested in connecting people to their environment and to environmental protection. And citizen science opens up an avenue for communication between agencies and communities.
Some of us are old enough to remember days before Earth Day, when there was smog was a common phenomenon and you just expected rivers and beaches to be dirty. What do you think might have been the outcomes had people had the kinds of tools then that are available now that the world is, at least the United States, is a lot cleaner than it was 40 years ago?
I think better data leads to better solutions. And one of the major uses in the environmental arena for citizen science is, in fact, environmental monitoring. And there are many ways you can monitor climate change, air quality, water quality. and other kinds of pollution. And engaging citizens as part of that process, again, helps connect citizens to what some of the environmental issues are and what some of the solutions are.
We're speaking with Jay Benferrato. He's the Chief Innovation Officer in EPA's Office of Research and Development. Now, the EPA can't be everywhere, and there are all of the state environmental agencies and even some municipal or large county ones. Are you deputizing them to help citizens get started that may have an interest in measuring their surroundings?
Absolutely. We feel that we can serve an important support role for states and others. A number of states have active citizen science programs and coordinators, California, Wisconsin, and others. Beyond the states, other federal agencies, the U.S. Geological Survey, NOAA, and others in the Department of Interior, all have started citizen science programs that often are about measuring the environment.
It strikes me there's probably a tie-in for an agency like HHS, where the environment and health kind of cross over, and everybody's interested in their own health, but no one really has that much information about populations other than people that make it their business to do this.
I have a couple of reactions to that. Absolutely, yes. HHS and this movement of precision medicine or personalized medicine, where there's now technologies where people can measure their own health and contribute that data into larger data sets, is one type of citizen science. Surprisingly, I think the largest contribution on citizen science is from the National Science Foundation. Over the last decade, they've funded literally hundreds of projects that help build, quote, citizen science infrastructure that helps people with their observations and analysis.
And so groups that want to get started in this locally, say, or at the state level, what should they do?
There's a set of resources. The one I would recommend, I was personally involved in creating, it's called the Federal Crowdsourcing and Citizen Science Toolkit. And we have a grassroots federal community of practice on citizen science and crowdsourcing with more than 40 federal agencies. And a group of volunteers created this citizen science toolkit that includes background, how to define problems amenable to citizen science, design projects, manage data. It has case studies of federal agencies from federal agencies. It has a resource library, some of the up-to-date resources that we use, and then it has a small section on law and policy.
What about the back end of all of this with the use of big data? Somebody's got to handle that end as this thing grows and as more citizens gather data. What are you looking at to handle the data that comes in, because somebody's got to house it and make use of it?
I think this is the area that we need to make progress on in the next 5 years, how to manage the data, how to make sure the data are open and people can access it, and essentially how to combine data sets. I mentioned water quality groups across the country collecting information about pollution, and we're just now figuring out how to combine those data sets with the larger national water quality data sets at EPA, at the U.S. Geological Survey, and other places.
Jay Benferrato is director of the National Center for Environmental Innovation at the EPA. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends. Tomorrow, we talk to Ron Williams, an EPA research chemist, and Deb Zaro, the Deputy Regional Administrator for Region 1, that's New England.